people's out here gonna be on the highway, they're gonna be at the bars anyhow, after midnight anyhow, so we can stay here for a little while longer.
Amen. Well, God is good, isn't he? Best I've ever seen in my life. Shadrach, Meekio, and Abednego. That was good, brother. God bless your heart. They didn't bow and they didn't burn. There's too many people bowing today, aren't they? I think I'm going to skip singing tonight and get right on into the preaching. Everybody stand, if you will, all over the building. And turn to the book of Hebrews again. Hebrews one more time, if you will, please. God is so good to us. It's been a good week. We've had some good singing, preaching all the week, and thank God for that. And I was meditating today and thinking about the service, and what I'm going to preach tonight is going to go right along with what the preacher just got through preaching. And if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13, I may sing a song when I get through here. Hebrews 13, verse number 1, and I want to read down through verse number 9. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Now I like what he said here in this verse of scripture. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6.
Right.
Verse 6 here, it said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is, that's present tense.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That means the man of God that is preaching the word of God, telling it straight like it is, to men, women, boys, and girls as they are, that means you're to follow that man as long as he is following the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 8, the Bible said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We'll stop at verse 8. My Father, thank you for the good day. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for the songs of Zion. I'm glad the Bible said forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Lord, may we have it settled in our hearts. I pray now, Lord, that you would bless this church. I pray, Lord, you'd send them laborers. I pray, God, you'd bless each church that's represented here tonight. Give them many souls for the labor. And help me now, Lord, as I preach the word of God, I stand where no man dare stand alone. Realizing, God, without you, I can do nothing. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Save that one that might be here lost undone without Christ. Lord, there could be a backslider here in the service tonight. And I pray you'd speak to their heart. May they get right with God and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now I read verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 13 down through verse number 8. You find the promises of God in verse number 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. You know, God never breaks a promise. You can depend on the promises of God. A lot of times we'll make promises only to break those promises. A lot of times people will promise us things only to break those promises. And you'll find in Isaiah chapter number 49 and verse number 8 down through verse number 15 that God is saying about the same thing in Isaiah 49 verse 8 through 15 that he is saying here to us. And in Isaiah 49 verse number 8 through 15 he talks about that to the children of Israel. But let me give you three things that God has promised, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be a blessing to you. Boy, I tell you, when you read Daniel chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, brother, that ought to encourage anybody. That should encourage every one of us. I don't care how old we are, how young we are, what we're going through. Those men of God stood for something, didn't they? They stood for the Lord. Here's a good promise that God is promising us here in Hebrews chapter number 13. He said, I will never forget you. I'm so glad that he will never, Brother James, forget us. Somebody said, you may hear my name and forget my name and you've lost nothing. But if you hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you forget the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say no to Jesus, you say, I don't have time for Jesus, I'm not concerned about Jesus, and you die in that condition, then you've lost everything. Yeah. I'm so glad that he said, I will never forget you. Now, there are times when you wonder if God really cares about you. I'm telling you, God said in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I've quoted that about every night. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, in the book of Psalm 55 and verse number 22. And I'm glad the Bible says again in Proverbs or in Psalms chapter number 37 and verse number 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God will never forget you. Amen. You may get sick. You may not even remember who your husband is. You may get sick and not even remember who your wife is. You may get sick and not even remember who your children are or your grandchildren are. But you'll never get so sick that God will forget you. Friend of mine, his name is Paul, just like my name's Paul. And he had Alzheimer's, and he was a good preacher, good friend, loved the Lord. And some of you might know if I call his name. But he had Alzheimer's, and they put him in the rest home there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And I went in to see him one day, and I said, Paul, how you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good. And I said, do you know who I am? He said, I don't think so. I said, well, do you know Paul says? Yeah, I know Paul. He said, if you see him, tell him I said hello. He didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
But you know something? God, while he was well, God knew who he was. And while he was sick and in the rest home, God knew where he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, God knows where we are tonight. I don't care what you're going through, what the heartache is, the heartbreak is, the tears, the sorrow. I'm glad God knows who you are.
Amen.
He knows more about us than we even know about ourselves. He cares more about us than we even care about ourselves. Thank God you'll never be alone if you're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
He'll go with you through the valleys. He'll go with you through the tears. He'll go with you through the trials. He'll go with you through the testings. I'll tell you, my friend, He's with you, us when we're in the valley. He's with us when we're on the mountaintop. He's with us when we can't understand. God knows who we are. Woo! That's enough to make a backslid Baptist get right with God and shout, isn't it? Sure is. He assures you and I that you are not forgotten. You are His beloved child. Look in Psalm 27, please, in verse number 5. Turn over there. It won't take but just a minute to get there. Boy, ain't the Lord good to us.
Yes, sir. Yes.
27. And notice, if you will, in verse number 10 of this chapter. When my father and my mother forsake me, this is a Psalm of David. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Amen.
There's been a lot of little boys and girls that mothers and fathers don't love them anymore. Probably never did love them and never did want them. But God help any mama and any daddy that does not love their children.
Amen.
That will take their children and sit them down at somebody's doorstep or on somebody's porch and leave a note saying, I don't want these children. I never did want them. I don't love them. You take them and you raise them. I don't want them. You'll never hear God say that. You'll never hear God say, I'm tired of you. I don't love you anymore. I'm not going to look after you anymore. I'm not going to clothe you. I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to shelter you. Because God will never say those words to you and I that are saved by the grace of God. Whoa! Hallelujah. Now don't get your motor running if it ain't running right. Say amen. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Let's read these verses. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That means an unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be a shepherd, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, now when you get saved by the grace of God, and over in some of the foreign countries, this takes place all the time. Whenever you get saved by the grace of God, is what Paul is telling us, and you have heard the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sin, you receive Christ as your personal Savior, and your parents are in some foreign or religious cult, and they will disown you if you say that you have repented and you have received Christ as your personal Savior. They will disown you and even run you away from home. God is saying, should that happen, I'm going to let you know that I will pick you up and I will be your father and I will be your mother and I will be the one to comfort you and love you and never forgive you. Woo! Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. Now look what he said in chapter 7 of verse 1. Having therefore these promises. Boy, not a good promise. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm so glad he's never forsaken me. And I used to play in the bluegrass band before I got saved, and after I got saved, I quit playing bluegrass. I love bluegrass gospel, but all this other stuff, it don't glorify God. Say amen. And so one of the men that I used to play with in the band, he called and said, "Hey, you want to do a little picking this afternoon?" I said, "Well, we can. You want to? But I'm going to play gospel music. I'm not playing any more than honky tonk stuff." Well, say amen. The psalmist did say in Psalm 40, "He'll give me a new song."
Amen.
He'll give me a new song when he gets saved by the good grace of God. But I said, "You come on over." He said, "You got a beer?" And I said, "No, don't have no beer. You got time for no beer. And you'll start drinking from a different fountain when you get saved." Because the Bible said in Proverbs 20 verse 1, "Wine is a mock, a strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise." Ephesians chapter number 5 verse 18, the Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." He said, "Well, I tell you what, if the old lady wants to, we'll be down after a while." He called his wife, "Old lady," he went with 21. She was younger than that. I don't care if your wife was 95, you shouldn't be calling her old lady.
Right.
Call her honey, sweetheart, baby doll.
Yeah.
Right. What? Amen. Don't say, "Hey, you." You listen to what I'm saying? But evidently she wasn't the one that made the decision. She didn't want to come. It was him. But about 2 years later, he got saved by the good grace of God.
Amen.
But he got saved on his deathbed. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Just like that song I sung the other night, "I Want to Die on a Battlefield." When you get saved by the grace of God, and one reason I hesitated about being saved, I told the man that witnessed to me, I said, "Well, what is my friends going to say if I get saved?" He said, "Well, some of them may say, I don't want nothing else to do with you." And sure enough, they did. They turned their backs on me. And sometimes when you get saved, some of your family members, some of your friends will turn their back on you. But thank God Jesus won't never turn his back on you. He'll never forget you. I don't care how old you are.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, you come to our church 41 years ago. You didn't have a gray hair in your head." I said, "That's right." And I had to look at him and say, "You didn't either." And he said, "It was a whole lot thicker than it is now." And I said, "So were yours." I still got a lot more than he's got. But I said, "I don't care how my hair turns, as long as it don't turn loose. But it's turning loose and it's turning gray." You say, "Why?" Because the gray hair is pushing the black hair away.
Say amen.
But I'm going to tell you one blessed thing. The Lord has never forgot me.
Amen.
Have you ever read the writings on some of the tombstones? "Gone, but not forgotten." Hallelujah. Sometimes we forget one another. Hey, man. I had a man call me. I called a man today and was talking to him. And I told him who I was, and I gave him a telephone number, my home number. And I said, "Now my cell number is..." I said, "Good night. I'll hang up. I'll get my cell number and I'll call you right back." I forgot my own cell number. You say, "Why?" I hardly ever use it. And if you don't use things, you forget them.
Right.
But I got it right and called him back and left another message on the machine. I said, "I had one of those senior moments." Have y'all ever had a senior moment? I can be back in the back of the in the house in the bedroom, and I'll come out of the hall. I say, "Honey, I want to tell you something just a minute. I've been there in just a minute. She'll be in the kitchen."
I turn around, go back in the bedroom, pick up something, come back. I said, I forgot what I was going to tell you.
And I still don't know what some of it was I was going to tell. Probably the best thing I didn't say, man. I'm so glad he won't never forget us. Boy, not a blessing from God. He will never forget your name. He knows my name. He knows your name. He will never, my friend, forget you. In the dark times, in the bright times, he will never forget you. Look in John chapter 10, verse number 28. Look what the Bible says. You got to hurry. John chapter number 10, verse number 28. Look what Jesus said. Boy, you ought to read this whole chapter when you get home. He said this. In verse number 26 of John 10. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You're also reading John chapter number 17. Jesus knows who we are, and thank God we know who he is. Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. But what about Psalm chapter 23, verse 1? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, I hope so, think so, maybe so, guess so, feel so. He said, thank God, the Lord is my shepherd. And that is a present tense word. The Lord is right now and right now. What kind of, Brother Rich, what kind of a father would we have if he forgot who we were just because we get older and get feeble and we can't run as fast, we can't jump as high, and we forget things? See, God never forgets anything except our sins, and he washes them away through the coming of Jesus, amen, by his precious blood. Glory. But he won't forget you, who you are. He will never forget you. Amen. Right. Did you know nothing can separate God's love for us? Look in the book of Romans just a minute, please. Chapter number 8 and verse number 25. Boy, this book has got the answer to the questions, doesn't it? Romans 8:35. Look at the believer's security. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question asked. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And a conqueror is an overcomer. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody said, show me the love of God. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find and you will see the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. What a Savior we serve. What a Savior we serve. So let me give you a precious promise from the love of God.
Next, if this time I could be in such foul physical condition that I wouldn't even remember who you are. But let me tell you something, God won't ever forget who you are.
Right.
No one ever loved me like Jesus. No one ever loved you like Jesus.
Amen.
And no one ever will love us like Jesus. Seems like I'm preaching to this crowd. Boy, I am over here, so let me get over here a little bit and speak to this crowd. You don't ever have to worry about the Lord forgetting who you are. He knows who you are.
Yeah.
And somebody said God didn't even have no grandchildren. He's got all children. Isn't that a blessing from God? All children. And he don't love me any more than he loves you. And he don't love you any more than he loves me. Hallelujah. We was all on the same ship, head toward the bottom, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that a blessing, Brother Buddy?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Let me give you another promise from God. He promised he'd never forget us. And then he promised he would never forsake us. Do you know what that word forsake means? It means to leave, or it means to desert, or left deserted. Left deserted, my friend. Amen. Many have left us just like they left the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 6, you'll find a whole multitude that followed the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 1 and verse number 2. But if you read all the way through that chapter and come down to verse 66, you'll find that every one of them forsook the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They left the Savior. He's never left one of his children, and he never, ever will, ladies and gentlemen. You see, we have a lot of church members that leave us, don't we? We pastors know what that's all about, don't we? And Demas forsook the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken thee, and here's the reason why. Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. I'm going to tell you, my friend, a lot of people have forsaken us for the love of the world and the worldly things. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15, 16, 17, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James 4 and verse number 4, James said, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, and whosoever will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Wherefore come out from among them, and be accepted, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen.
You can't love this world system and love Jesus too.
Amen.
No way. No way. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? By the way, God don't go to races on Sunday.
I don't think he goes any day. But I don't care how many little sermonettes they hear down at the racetrack. I saw a picture in the paper here a while back, and one of the race car drivers, he cusses, he sells beer, he drinks beer, and I don't know what else, I just know what I've seen, what I read in the paper about it. And then, my friend, they'd have somebody that would come on Sunday, and he's a chaplain to the race car drivers, and he'll give a little, and they'll just get out and do the same thing, my friend. No change whatsoever. Now, some may, but this particular one that I'm thinking about, I haven't seen any change or read any change about it. Oh, you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God, I tell you what y'all do about racing on Sunday. Gentlemen, shut off your motors.
Come to church.
Go to church. Help me out. Go to church. Not forsake them, the assembling of ourselves together. As a man of so is, but exhort one another.
Amen.
So much the more as you see today approaching. I preached on it last night. Say
amen.
Go to church. Shut the ball games down on Sunday. Go to church, hallelujah. It's not a shopping day. It's not a holiday. It's a holy day. It belongs to God. Every day belongs to God. First day of the week is Sunday. We are to shut everything down, friend. Shut the beer doors down, everything down. Amen. And have on time preaching down the house of God. We have revival, you'll see some dance halls closing up.
Amen.
You'll see some beer joints and liquor stores closing down. You'll see some of the gambling dives and dance halls and all of the hell holes of this world. When revival comes, there'll be some sin done away with, say
amen. Amen.
And sinful things. I didn't know I was going to say all that tonight, but I sure am glad I did.
Say amen. Amen.
I sure am glad I did. God is so good to us. Hallelujah. Now look, if you will, again. And you find the word forsake. He said, I'll never forsake you. Your family, your friends may forsake you, but God will never forsake you. He'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. It means to desert. It means to disappoint. It means to cause or to neglect or omit. It means to afford aid, supply, or strength. God is still on the throne, and there is help for you and I. Amen, because he promised he would never leave us alone. Look in John 14, 18, and I'm hurrying. You can tell that, can't you? John 14, verse number 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. That means orphans. I won't leave you as orphans. He said, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. Isn't that a good promise from God?
Amen. That he won't never forget us? Isn't that a good promise from God that he will never forsake us?
Amen.
And isn't it a good thing from God and a good promise from God that he will be our friend forever?
Amen.
A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
That's found in Proverbs 18 and verse number 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Had a man tell me one time, I don't have no friends. I said, I know what your problem is. He said, what's my problem? I said, you're not friendly. In Proverbs 17:17, the psalmist said, friends love at all times. Turn that proverb. Give me that. I got it just about right. I don't like to just about get it right. I want to get it all the way right. A friend loveth at all times. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. A friend loveth at all times. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for good friends.
Amen.
Amen.
Most folk come by church. That's one of the friendliest churches. Just like y'all around here. Just friendly. Everybody shake hands and smiling and griping and groaning sometimes. But it's, you know, it's friendly. And so this brother came one time, and I looked back and shook his hand. He just stood around there and didn't move. And I went back and shook his hand. Went to see him the next week and said, I don't know what I like it over there. I said, what? He said, well, people weren't too friendly. And I said, neither were you. I said, I had to come back there just trying to pull your hand out of your pocket and get to shake it. You won't never stick your hand out in many churches unless somebody will shake it. Now, I know a few people, I don't want them shaking my hand because I'm afraid they'll pull it clean off my arm. Say, man. Had a young man in our church. I mean, you're talking about stout. He shook my hand. I said, yeah, how you doing? I said, look, man, I need that hand. Take it easy, will you? Oh, God won't never stop being our friend. You know, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
In John 15, verse number 13.
That's right.
And if you don't have any friends, you ought to start being friendly.
Amen.
Because if you are friendly, somebody's going to be your friend. Hallelujah.
Right. Not a blessing from God. Say amen. Somebody help me out a little bit. He will never stop being our friend. Abraham was God's friend, and you find this in Isaiah 41 in verse number 8. Did you know that Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 26 in verse number 50? And And Jesus called him friend. Look in your Bibles, if you will, in Matthew 26 and verse number 50 just for a moment. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 50. He sold our Lord out, my friend. Sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26, 50. Now watch this. I want to read verse number 47. You find the betrayal and the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he yet spake, lo, Jesus, or Judas, one of the 12 came, and with a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. You know what Judas did? He kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. According to the word of God. And the Bible said, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. You better be careful who you let kiss you. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him, the kiss of betrayal. But Jesus called him friend. I'm glad he was a friend to his disciples. I'm glad he was a friend to sinners. If I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus had not been my friend, I would not be saved. Because I was a sinner, and if Jesus was not a friend to you, then you would not be saved. Right. Look in Luke 5 and verse number 30 and 31. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? I tell you why, because he loved those sinners. I am so glad God loves old sinners. Aren't you glad God loves you? Amen. Look what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Look in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 34 just for a moment. I'm just about through. Look at verse number 36. Here is Jesus in the Pharisee's house. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Oh yes, my friend. That woman that is walking the streets tonight, prostitute, I'm glad God would save her. I'm so glad God would save her. Woo! Oh, I'm so thrilled that God would save those that's down and out, just like he saves those that's up and in. When she heard that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and the Bible says, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. Isn't that a blessing? Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. He knew exactly who she was. He knew who Jesus was. I mean, Jesus knew who she was,
and she knew who Jesus was. And praise God, before you got saved and before I got saved, he knew who we were. He knew what we were doing, but he loved us anyway.
Amen.
He loved us in Romans 5:8. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that a blessing from God, ladies and gentlemen? She got saved by the good grace of God. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
He was a friend to sinners. Some so-called friends are untrustworthy. But I'm telling you, but you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because he is a friend that will save you and keep you by his marvelous, wonderful, glorious power.
A promise from God, ladies and gentlemen. I will not ever forget you. A promise from God, ladies and gentlemen. I will never, ever forsake you. A promise to God, ladies and gentlemen. I will never, ever cease to be your friend. He's a friend that will pick you up when you're down. He's a friend that will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. 10 years ago, I was out on the back porch pulling some metal off of the eaves, and we was going to turn that back porch over to have a shelf on it. And that Saturday morning, before I did that on Monday morning, I was washing my car before I went on visitation, and these cars now, you got to almost stand on your head and wash the muffler if you don't squat down. And I was washing that car, and I felt a burning in my chest, and I thought, man, must have heartburn. This is the worst heartburn I've ever had in my life. So I sat down for about 5 minutes and scooped down and finished washing that car. Got in the house, Brother Donald, took a shower, got rid of my fishing for a couple of hours. And come on, everything was fine. Sunday morning, I got to talk Sunday school like I do every Sunday, have been for years. And I got up to preach. I sung that morning. Got up to preach and preached about 30 minutes. And boy, I felt that pain again. Boy, I tell you, it was. And I stopped. And I gave the invitation. I said to the musicians and songwriters to come up and let's give an invitation. But on to my wife back. She said, well, maybe it goes. I said, no. After I said that, well, admit it's all right. So that Monday morning, I'm going to come back on that Sunday night, preach about 40 minutes, nothing happened. Felt good, got up that Sunday morning. We had to go to Greensburg visit. And we came back home and went to Greensburg visit, come back home. And I said, well, let's run down the road. One of our members said, live right down below us. And I said, we'll go down and have prayer with her. And I'll come back and I'm going to change clothes and get some of that more of that metal off out there so we can get to work and put those two befores up in. But see, our families grow down to 9 of us, you know, 4 grandchildren, all that good stuff. And we had to have a big place to eat, feed that crowd, 100 eating boys. So we did that. Come back, and I went outside, and I changed my clothes, went outside, and got to pull that bell. I was exerting myself, and I was yanking that bell. And boy, I did it about 3 times. It hit me so bad, I thought I was going to fall down. So I sat down and I told my wife what was going on. Make a long story short, that's what that preacher said last night. Make a long story short, I'm going to make a short story long. And so I sat down and I said, we may have to go to the doctor. I said, I'm going to carry these 2 or 3 pieces of metal I pulled off. I'm going to carry them down to the head of the yard and the rest of it was. And when I get back up here, if it's still hurting, I want you to take it. carried it. Now, you know, the little old metal's not heavy at all. I carried it down behind the house, in the back of the yard. And before I got, it's just a little bit of grave, not much, just a little grave. And before I got back up there, son, I thought I was gonna have to lay down in the grass. I got back in the garage, and I said, get the kid, get me in the car, something bad wrong. Take me to the hospital. Carefully, I called my daughter-in-law, she's a nurse, she said, don't let anybody care. Call 911 and get the ambulance there. I said, I'm all right. When I stopped exerting myself, I'm all right. She said, get an ambulance. You know how stubborn we men folk are, ladies? Go ahead and say anything. He said, no, I'll be all right. And I was all the way to the hospital. Pulled in and said, man, come out with a wheelchair. She said, sir, you need a wheelchair? And I said, well, I'm having heart problems. He said, you need a wheelchair. I said, no, wheelchair. He rolled me back down there. He couldn't find a thing. But he said, they put me in the room, said, we'll leave you overnight. And he said, the doctor come by and told me, he said, in the morning, we're going to do a stress test on you. But now, my wife was with me that night, down at the hospital. And he said, if you have any more problems, he said, you push that red button and get a nurse and you whip up some of that nitric acid under your tongue. 5:30, I was doing the best you ever seen. You know how tired you get laying in the hospital bed. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, man, oh. And I'm, oh, Lord, you hit me, brother. I thought I was gone. Brother James, I thought that's it. This old preacher's going to die right here. So I pushed that button, nurse came in. I told her what happened. She said, let me put two of these on your tongue. Lord come by and he said, we're going to forget about that stress test. I think you probably got a big blockage. And so they did a heart catheterization on me at 1 o'clock. Supposed to be at 1, supposed to be at 3, supposed to be at 4, they finally got to it at 5. I guess it's waiting for that. What is it? Nitroglycerin? And he said, now we're going to go in, if there's a blockage, we're going to have to put a stent. And sure enough, brother, he said, your main artery to your heart was 95% stopped up, I mean tight as a banjo. He told my wife, he told my nurse, he said, I come that close to losing him. That close. But he told me, brother, he told me before that, he said, now this could, you could have a heart attack, you could have a stroke, you could die on the operating table. I said, well, has this got to be done? He said, it's got to be done. I said, well, I'm a winner either way. I said, I'm a winner if I go, and I'm a winner if I stay. Now, I'm going to tell you one more story. Y'all that don't know, he said, I'm getting a hurry tonight. Well, I don't know what he meant. I don't understand. So if I'm a little bit too long with it, y'all find me a preacher. 7 years ago, I went to my doctor. He said, it's been 7 years since I had this other problem. About 7 years. And went to my doctor's in Reedsville, and Dr. Roy Fagan, y'all know anybody know him? I went for my physical examination, and he kept listening to this side of the blood flow, and he come on this side, and then he come on this side, then he come on that side. He went back over here, and I said, Doc, there's something wrong with this side. You spend more time on this side than you are on this side. He said, what do you got for heart? Doctor, again, appointment. I said, what is it, 2 or 3 weeks? I'm going to send him a text. Sometimes in Texas it's good, but not in church. This is some words. He said, you got the blood not flowing like it should. So they give you that, wave that thing and rub it and push on you. Ultrasound. And he said, you got a blockage. Here's what he told me. That was three years after I had this heart cleaned out. And he said, now we can put you to sleep and do it, or we can put you to sleep and numb it and then bring you back out of it and do it while you are awake. I was like, wait? You want to cut off my neck and be awake? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, when you are asleep and we do it, we won't know whether you've had a stroke or not until you go in recovery and then awake out of in recovery. But he said, if we do it while you are awake, he said, you won't see anything. He said, you may feel a little blood or something running down you, but he said, and if you feel anything, all you got to do is say, hey, do some more numbing in there.
Oh.
They didn't say, we're going to let you do it. I said, I don't know, doctor. He said, if you have a symptom that you are having a stroke, we can tell by the your speech will be kind of begin to get slurry, you know. I said, I just put me to sleep. They started, I said, oh, come here, doctor. Come here. I said, have it your way. I know this is not Burger King, but you have it. You do it the way you want. So they did. Mm-hmm. And so they put me to sleep. And he operated on this. He cut it over here. I've been cut, slashed, and sliced. And he said, now when he brought me back out of sleep, and everything was numb. I couldn't feel anything. They had everything. I couldn't even see. I talked to myself, but he said, now I want you to count. I want you to count from 1 to 100 while we're doing this. I said, how long is it going to take? He said, probably 30 to 40 minutes. I said, count to 100 for 30 to 40 minutes. So I said, 1, 2, 3. And I got to dance. Wait a minute, doctor. Does it make any difference what I say as long as I'm talking to you? And he said, fine. I said, what about if I quote some scripture while y'all are operating on me? That'd be perfectly fine. Brother, for 30 solid minutes, every scripture that I have ever learned to quote, I quoted it over and over and over and over for 30 minutes. And every 15 minutes, somebody would take the place and stand there with me to talk to me. I got the witness to people that some of them said they were saved, some said they were Catholic, some said they were this. Only one or two said, I've never accepted Christ as first and second. I got the witness to my last cut in my face. My neck. And he said that was the most stopped up artery. He said it was the biggest mess I've ever seen in anybody's name. And they didn't put a stent that time. They and scraped it out. But he said, I'll use a thing that looks like an ice cream dipper, but just a little tiny, about the size of a little thing. He went out, I wanted to quote scripture and witness, so I did. I thought, Lord, if I'm going to go on this operating table, what a better way to go than witness for my Lord and tell folk I'm glad I'm saved. And so, my wife told me when the doctor got through, he came out and told the family they'd come through and everything. And I said, by the way, none of us in the operating room need to go to church for at least a month because we've been having about 5 or 6 patients. Praise God, whatever. Well, that means something.
Yes.
Now, listen, do you know the Lord? And quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. About that now. Go from operating room to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm glad you spared my life because I thought, well, dude, you ain't in heaven, so you wouldn't even be there right now. Amen. Let's stand at our feet.
Amen.
Hope that wasn't boring to you. If it was, must not be right. Let's stand our feet. P.S. show us up through preaching tonight. Brother Donald,
I'm going to tell you one thing. I have been in churches, preached revival meetings. Brother, I'm telling you, feel like you're in them.
Everything has been disconnected. Every night this week, I've had the liberty to preach the word of God as good as I've had anywhere.
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand right now if you know you're saved? If you know it, raise it real high and wave it. If you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. God bless you. You may take your hand down, heads bowed and eyes closed. How many say, preacher, I'm not saved tonight. I want you to pray for me. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm lost. I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me, preacher? Is there one all over the building? Is there one? How many say, preacher, I've been saved. I've been saved, but I'm not where I should be with Christ tonight. There's some things in my life not pleasing. In God's sight, I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me? Is there one? How many of you know somebody that's lost? God bless you, ma'am. How many know somebody that's lost without God, a loved one? If you've got a loved one lost, would you raise your hand? Got a friend lost, a neighbor. Won't you come pray for him right now? She plays. Go ahead and play, sister.